and you are not getting all of it. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, the wonders he has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise up and teach them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will the kids come join me down front? I'm going to do something very dangerous. I'm going to ask all of you to be like Isaac Watts. What is it we do in the church that you think we don't do very well? Because then I'm going to tell you to go do it better. But what is it in the church that we need to improve on? We're perfect, yes! Are we perfect? No. So there's probably an area we could improve on, right? What do you think? We could put balconies in. You guys are really stuck on having a balcony in this church, aren't you? What else? Should we have recliners for pews? Yeah, I got a yes and a maybe and a no. You want to put me back up on a pedestal? Put the pulpit back, raise it up again? Is that the pulpit thing right here, Silas?
The pulpit
thing. Yes.
And then put a stool on it
because I need to be taller?
So everybody can see you better.
So everybody can see me better, okay? What else could we improve on? What? One of the children over here says we could sing more songs. What do you think? Peregrine, there's something over there. We could eat more ice cream. Well, get right on that, Trilby. Silas thinks that would be a good idea. I think the Committee for the Consumption of More Ice Cream is about to have its first meeting. We could set up a way for Tanya to be able to worship and Jared to be able to be cared for. You hear what happens? We get 600 hymns that you love to sing, and we get more ice cream, and we get the inclusion of God's children in God's worship. Will you pray with me? God, sometimes we just grumble. We're good at it. We sort of like to do it. It's in the Bible. People do it on their way out of Egypt. You would ask us to turn that grumbling to productivity, to put pen to paper and create better music, to create a place where more are welcome, to allow us to eat more ice cream and sing more songs. Hear us, O God, and guide us as we work not just to complain, but to move ever so slowly and steadily closer to your kingdom. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, friends, our next hymn is, for some reason, tied with children. It's on the insert in your bulletin. It's called Let the Children Hear the Mighty Deeds. Let's sing together. May be seated. Our next lesson is from Psalm 90, selections from it. So, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals. For 1,000 years in your sight, or like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you listened carefully, you heard those images from Psalm 90 in Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. You heard, in the morning it flourishes, for 1,000 years are in your sight, are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. That's the last verse that they sung. Now, the thing you need to know about Isaac Watts is he was fully human. So there were parts of the text that he chose not to deal with. That first hymn we just sung about children was from Psalm 78, and it sounds kind of like the 1740s version of Teach Your Children Well, right? And that's kind of what we read in the first seven of those 72 verses. If I had kept on reading, if Watts had kept on writing, there would have been a because. And the because is one that makes us very uncomfortable. That because in Psalm 78, verse 8 continues. There's a semicolon at the end of verse 7, and it says, "And they should not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God." And then it goes on and lists for about 60 verses all of the failings of the previous generations. The Ephraimites turned back on the day of battle. These people forgot. They sinned still more against him. They tested God in their heart. In spite of all of this, they still sinned. Yeah, good old Isaac filters just a little bit. And we do too. So as we sing Psalm 78, we hear it sounds forward-focused, doesn't it? The way he wrote that hymn, it sounds forward-focused. It sounds, "Teach your children so that they shall walk in the light of God, so they shall know the mighty deeds of God." It sounds like a good, rousing Sunday school kickoff song. If he'd written verse 3, "Because all of you old people got it completely wrong." Guess what? We're not going to sing that in the church because the church is mainly old people. Makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? Psalm 90, "Our God, Our Help in Ages Past," has the same set of things. I read to you the first 6 verses, right? And we ended with, "In the morning it flourishes and renews, it in the evening it fades and withers," which Watts puts much more poetically than the editors of the New Revised Standard Version. Verse 7, "For we are consumed with your anger, by your wrath we are overwhelmed." Oops. That doesn't make as good a song, does it? I mean, we kind of like singing "Our God, Our Help in Ages Past," right? It's kind of fun, it's kind of upbeat, it's kind of promissory, it's kind of hopeful. God has done these great things for us in the past, and it's been great. "For all our days pass under your wrath, our years come to an end like a sigh." You don't see that versified by Watts. "The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if we are strong. Even then their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away." Can you understand why Watts didn't put this part to verse? "Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants." That begins the end of Psalm 90 that I read. And it's a tension there in what does Watts put in and what do we want to sing? What do you want to sing? How many of us really want to sing a song that talks about the wrath of God directed at us? Directed at them, we tend to really like. Us, not so much. Those of you who've been playing with Cotton Patch, Lori and I went to seminary in Georgia, and for a while we served a small church there. She had the young kids, I had the adult Christian education, and they sang this really weird song there that had a line in the refrain of, "You better start retreating because there's going to be a beating." I'm still not quite sure where that came from, but it hasn't generally entered my hymnody as a song I want to introduce to every successive congregation I've been involved in. But that was the refrain, and they sang it so gleefully. It was a very odd experience. That may be from the part that Watts left out. Watts makes two huge, huge interpretive decisions. One is that the Psalms always point to Jesus Christ. So the next hymn we will sing will be based on Psalm 23. And I think you guys will know the leap that Watts is making. But he also meant for them to be praise. He did not mean for them to be correction. He meant for them to be praise. So his selection of hymns and psalms is all about lifting God up. And in lifting God up, he then tries to bridge the gap between where we are and what God is willing to do. So listen for that as you sing some more, because we're going to sing some more right after I read you this psalm that probably most of you will hate, because, well, I'm just going to do it from the King James from memory, but the New Revised is in front of me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overfloweth. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now I'm going to invite you to open your hymnals to 803, and we'll sing "My Shepherd Will Supply My Need." You may be seated. Now, we're going to do a little bit of technical teaching, and then we're going to get down to theology again. Several of you have commented that you really enjoy the notes at the bottom of the page, so we're going to do a little bit of explanation about the notes at the bottom of the page. Our editors remark that the effectiveness of this beloved paraphrase of Psalm 23 owes much to the flowing shape note melody that serves as a living stream to carry the text, which in turn has been given a remarkable clarity and lightness through the poet's masterful use of single-syllable words. Now, if you drop down a little further, you would see that Isaac Watts wrote the text in 1719. That's right, it's almost 300 years old. And the music came into being in roughly 1828. I guarantee this is not the music he had in mind when he wrote the words. But often, hymns will get paired later with music that sticks with the words. The Methodists sing everything to the wrong tune, and they are convinced that the Presbyterians sing everything to the wrong tune. It's a great coffee table discussion like the weather, if you get together with the Methodist. If you look all the way over to the far right in the bottom corner of your hymnal, it has a tune name, which is Resignation, which that music doesn't sound like resignation to me, but it is what it's named. And below that is the meter. It's CMD. That's the common meter doubled. So if we went to the back, to the index in the back of your hymnals, you could find lots of tunes that are CMD. And in theory, we could have really messed with your heads this morning and subbed in a different tune. We decided we wanted to be alive for the Seelocks party this afternoon, so we didn't do that. You guys all know the 23rd Psalm, right? What I want to do is pick this hymn apart just a little bit so you hear what Watts does with it. My shepherd will supply my need. Jehovah is his name. The Lord my shepherd is, right? And in the Hebrew, Lord is the tetragrammaton. And the way it was translated in the 1740s was Jehovah. We don't do it that way anymore, but hey, Watts has been dead for a while. He's allowed not to be up to date on the most current theology. In pastures fresh, he makes me feed beside the living stream. You hear that it sounds, it's close, but it's not verbatim, right? Now the next line, the third stanza of the first verse, he brings my wandering spirit back when I forsake his ways. That's not in the psalm. Right? The next line in the psalm is really close to verse 4, or stanza 4, and leads me for his mercy's sake in paths of truth and grace, and leads me for his name's sakes. Right? What is Watts doing here? This is a profession of faith. This is his life story. He doesn't just lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, Watts says. Sometimes I go off on my own. And sometimes he comes and gets me. Now, that's a forward-looking allusion, right? The 23rd Psalm, and I am the shepherd who will not forsake the sheep. One goes off, I have 99, I'm going to go get the one. Right? This is Watts pulling the New Testament into the Psalms. But you have to be paying attention for it, because he's so close on the imagery that you will miss it. We do miss it. Stanza 2, when I walk through the shades of death, your presence is my stay. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear not, for thou art with me. What is it that guides him? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Not in this hymn. One word of your supporting breath drives all my fears away. It's a difference in that tone, isn't it? It's not that the good shepherd is going to beat up on the bad guys in the dark alley, right? Jesus is well-armed, and so I am safe when I am with Jesus. It is what God says. Your hand, in sight of all my foes, does still my table spread. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Pretty close, right? My cup with blessing overflows. Your oil anoints my head. Still really, really close to that text we know. The sure provisions of my God attend me all my days. Now listen, because verse 3, stanza 2, changes things. Oh, may your house be my abode, and all my works be praise. It is a hopeful aspiration. It is not, what do we get when we're actually in the 23rd Psalm? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That was the sure provisions of my God shall attend me all my days. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Well, Watts is going to expand that last little bit to three stanzas, three phrases. May your house be my abode and all my works be praise. Listen to how it closes. There would I find a settled rest while others go and come. No more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. Sounds different, doesn't it? Now, have you heard something kind of like that last bit somewhere else in the Bible? What? Suffer the children to come unto me. That's not the one I'm thinking of, but it's probably in there. Prodigal. The prodigal? Again, probably not the one Watts is thinking of. I do not call you servants, for servants do not know what the master is. This is the adoption language of the New Testament, right? I call you brothers and sisters. I call you children. And if children, then heirs to the covenant. But this, the way Watts writes it, is not with the certainty of the psalmist. The psalmist says, I shall. This is what's going to happen. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. And Watts says, oh, may it be. Oh, please, God. Oh, please, God, may this be how it works out. May I finally come to be at ease in your house and settle there and live there and unpack my boxes and make a mess on the floor. While others come and go, no more a stranger or a guest, but as a child at home. Watts is layering theology on top of the 23rd Psalm, which is pretty loaded already. Let's be honest, the 23rd Psalm is pretty loaded. And he knows his Bible. And one of the challenges that Watts gives us is that he uses these images so well and that they're so close to Scripture. Which one are we reading? Are we reading Watts? Are we reading the text? It has become so enmeshed, his music, his words, in the church as a whole, that I want you to read the words, partly because he does it so well. I mean, to be as ascribed an extra order of the extreme unction of the gift of the Holy Spirit in the penultimate writing of sacred poetry. I mean, that's how they introduce him in the advertisement at the start of the book. but also so that you hear how one man interprets what God is saying to him through Scripture, that we may have taken upon ourselves without even realizing we were taking his interpretation. The last piece I want you to get from Watts. He is prolific. He writes a lot of stuff. Some of it has endured, some of it has not. But, you know, if you write like 1,000 hymns, and nearly 400 years later, we still demand to sing your hymns, you've done okay, right? This was his spiritual discipline. There are pieces of technical greatness in it in terms of the poetry and the word choice, but this comes from his spirit. It comes from his soul. Somebody who has not lived the walk of faith cannot say that he brings my wandering spirit back when his path I forsake. It's not in there. You have to have had the experience of being brought back to say it. So I would encourage you to both read and sing Watts as testimony, not just as text, but also to consider. We get this beauty because some teenage young adult guy said to his dad, the music we're singing at church is garbage. What is to stop the rest of us from putting pencil to paper, paint to canvas, and telling the story of our faith in such a way that may last and endure? To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.